you to stand for the reading of God's word. Is there anybody blessed today? Okay, that's about a 40% response. I said, is there anybody blessed today? Hallelujah. I want to take a few minutes. I literally could not wait to get here this morning. I was just wanting time to speed up because I wanted to get here and hang out with you. When the service is over, we're going to give families with kids that are going back to school, we're going to give you communion. We'll have it for you when you come to the altars and anointing oil. And we're going to tell you, explain to you how to have communion with your children and anoint them with oil before the first day of school. How many of you think that's a great thing to do? But today I want to talk to you about the victory of the spoken blessing, because we're going to be speaking blessings over this house today. Who could use some blessings from God? I sure could. The Bible said out of the same mouth, James 3:10, the same mouth, not two different mouths, but out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. And then he said, my brothers, and I'm just going to say it, and my sisters, come on, these things ought not be so. So today, we're going to reverse the curse. Today, we're not going to speak doubt, fear, and negativity and curses. Today, we're going to speak blessings. Come on, somebody. And I want to talk to you just for a few minutes along these lines. The victory of the spoken blessings. All you that are in here, any students that are in here, we want to bless you. How many of you want to send your students to school blessed? Hallelujah. But I want to bless everybody in the room and online. Slip up your hands if you're ready for this oil I'm going to preach in. So, Father, today I am awestruck by you. I am awestruck by how good you have been to Calvary and how good you've been to me. I'm awestruck by how good you've been to the people in this house. And Lord, today, not only do we want to declare blessings, we also want to declare thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every good thing that you've done through Calvary. Thank you for every good thing that you're doing in this house. And thank you that we've only just begun, that we will take territory until Jesus comes back. Come on. We give you glory. And somebody who loves the Lord, don't do it unless you love him, but somebody who loves the Lord, give him the greatest ovation of the day. After a time like this, come on, if with a crowd like this, y'all ought to raise the roof. This place is packed. Amen. Look around you and just tell everybody around you, you're sitting in the blessed area. Come on, you're sitting in the blessed area. Let me just move into this. I know we've got a lot going on today, but I feel like I have a word. The power of the spoken blessing. I believe today that I have a word for you. Did anybody come to get a word from the Lord? I have a word that will change the way you send your children out the door tomorrow morning if your kids are going to be going to school, college, or university. But I also want to shift the way that you look even at your own self and your family. So this blessing, this message on speaking the blessings of the Lord, this is for everybody. This is one of the most important things I believe that preachers can talk about. And the problem is they seldom do. But if we've ever needed to hear the victory and the power and the breakthrough that God brings his children, we need to bring that. We need to hear that today. And I want you to know that all throughout the Word of God, we see the power of the spoken blessing. We see fathers blessing sons. We see mothers blessing daughters. We see brothers blessing sisters. We see elders blessing the next generation. And I want to tell you that I believe that it's important to do that today, to get the doubt out of your mouth, to get the negativity out of your mouth, and begin to declare the blessing and word of God. Now, I believe very much today in the literal spoken blessing of the Lord. A blessing is defined as this: the act of declaring God's favor and goodness upon another, invoking joy, peace, and increase in their lives. Now, watch this. It's the act of declaring God's favor and goodness upon another. Now, I'm doing this today for believers. I'm doing this today for people who are in covenant contact with God. And if you're not, you can get that way before you leave the service. But it's the act of declaring God's favor and goodness upon another, invoking joy and peace and increase over their lives. How many of you want God's favor and goodness over your life? Somebody on your row needs to be led to the Lord right now. I said, how many of you want God's goodness and favor over your life? Come on. How many of you want joy and peace and increase to manifest in your life and your family? So are you ready for this? I hadn't even planned to do this, but I'm just going to jump right in. Bring that back up, son in the back, or daughter, whoever's doing this. I declare God's favor and goodness over your life. Okay, either you believe it or you don't. The power of death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat their fruit thereof. You will decree a thing and it will be established. So here it goes. I'm going to say it one more time. I declare God's favor and goodness upon your life. And I declare joy. Okay, some of y'all, you're hooked on being negative and depressed. I said, I declare joy. Peace. How about this? Increase. In the mighty name of Jesus. What I just did there, it was a literal spoken blessing. I'm not talking about prophecy. I'm not even talking about a positive confession. I'm talking about the biblical practice of speaking a blessing out loud over another person and doing it on purpose. And listen, the problem is that many people have the opposite down. They're real good at speaking negativity. They're real good at speaking curses. I hate to say, I don't even like to use that word. But many people are far better at cursing than they are at blessing. The reality is that some people, you're struggling today because of what's been spoken over your life. Some parent has said it without even meaning to say it. They've released curses out of their mouth. I myself, it took me years to fully get over some of the things that were spoken over my life. I always felt less than. I always felt like I wasn't good enough because that's what I was told. I always felt like I had to try harder than everybody else. I felt like I would never rise. But I remember the day when I broke that off my life. I was so insecure because I'd been told you'll never amount to anything. You can't do anything good. I watched my sister be called names. I could tell you things that you wouldn't even believe. But the reality of it all is this. How I was made was more important than how I was raised. So, some parent has said it without meaning to curse anybody. You said things like, you'll never make it in that class. You're not smart enough. I wasn't good at science, and you won't be good at science. Come on now. You're just like your granddaddy. Come on, somebody. You're a loser, and you never get it, and you never will. Even though in the moment you were saying it because you were emotional, maybe you said to your kids, you drive me crazy. I guess you'll always drive me crazy. You're like your mama's side of the family. Come on, somebody. They'll look at you and say, you'll never really make a difference. I'm telling you that you have to get that negative verbiage out of your mouth. If you're not careful, you'll speak it over your mate. You'll tell your wife or your husband, you'll never love me the way I need to be loved. I deserve so much more. You'll never make it on that job. You'll never make us happy. You'll never really be a decent parent. I have to parent for both of us. I've watched people have that negative cursing spirit even about their church. I didn't like that service. It didn't take all that. Why they got the drums up in there? The Lord have mercy, lacing up your boots and putting on your backpack. Why they got to put on their backpack? Do you realize? that just about every kid that goes to school tomorrow is going to put on their backpack. And I'm telling you, it's time for them to ride for Jesus. So you don't have to send me an email, a Facebook message, or an Instagram message telling me how much you didn't like it. You had drums in there, and it's just too much. I'm telling you, if they can beat drums in at the park over in Ormond, we can beat drums in the house of the Lord. I didn't like that sermon a bit. I didn't like that. We stand too long. Why don't they just take the seats out of here? We never get to sit in them anyway. Come on, somebody. I didn't like that message. It was too much. Jim Raley's too radical. That church is too loud. Get that mess out of your life. Walk out of here and say, thank God for the touch of the Holy Spirit that's on my church. Thank God that generations are being changed. Thank God that I get to serve and give and grow in an atmosphere like this. See, there's an atmosphere that's created, precious. In your home, in your classroom, in your marriage, in your dorm room, even in your church, by the things that you say. I'm going to go a little bit deep, but it's an atmosphere of sterility or fertility. Fertility is an atmosphere of growth. It's an atmosphere of birthing. It's an atmosphere of increase. You want that in your home. You want that over your children. But sterility, these kind of words, that's an atmosphere of doom. That's an atmosphere of death and decrease. Nothing is birthed in that atmosphere. Whenever a blessing is spoken consistently, an atmosphere of growth and fertility and hope and peace is released. When you consistently speak over your children, when you consistently speak over your marriage, I constantly speak life. I do my best over my family. I text my children. I tell Dawn all the time, she's the prettiest girl in the room, do I not? And it's not a lie. Come on, somebody. But I constantly speak life, because wherever blessings in life are spoken, an atmosphere is created. Created that you want to live in and that you can grow in. But wherever curses are spoken, even in jest and frustration, it's an atmosphere that'll take root, and it'll cause you not to believe in yourself. It'll cause you not to believe in your marriage. Your kids won't believe in themselves, and it corrupts the environment. It sterilizes the atmosphere. And let me ask you maybe a hard question. You know, I love everybody. I've had to examine my own life through the years, and God shifted me many years ago. But is there somebody dwelling in a desert place because of your propensity to curse rather than bless? Is there somebody that may be challenged in life because you spoke negative about them and you spoke curses about them? The Bible said in Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for the building up, as the need may be, that it may give grace to those who hear it. You want to make sure that you are, leave that up there. You want to speak grace words. Let no corrupt communication. The literal definition for corrupt communication, watch this, it's diseased words. It's words that sterilize the environment that they're spoken into. And you have to be careful, listen precious, that you don't speak diseased words over your family, that you don't speak diseased words over your children, that you don't speak diseased words into your environment. Let me go a little bit further. And you don't need to speak disease words over yourself, because sometimes our greatest battle is the battle that we have with ourselves. I'll never make it. I can't do it. Listen to me, young man. I can't live this life. It's too hard. I can't walk and follow Jesus. I'll never do the significant with the Lord. But you need to flip the script and say, I am a child of the living God, and the Lord is on my side, and I believe that God has great plans for me, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Is there anybody here that wants to make sure that your words are not disease words, but your words are full of blessing and not cursing? The reality is, and I know this is deep and a little bit different, But your words can either minister or they massacre. They build up a child or they tear a child down. They build up your marriage or they tear your marriage down. Every classroom, every dorm room, every teacher's lounge, every home in this city and in this community is living in an atmosphere that's been shaped by somebody's words. The way you think about yourself, you've shaped that self-identity by the words you speak to yourself. When curses are spoken, these are disease words. They sterilize the environment. They create an environment of fear. But you show me a family thriving. You show me a young person walking strong for Jesus. You show me a business blessed. You show me a church exploding. I'll show you a family. I'll show you a person. I'll show you a business. I'll show you a church where cursing and corrupt communication is held in check. It's that place where you say, man, I believe that God is for me. And if God is for me, then who can be against me? Who's ready to flip the script on the enemy and speak life and not death, healing, not sickness, joy, not depression, prosperity and not poverty? Come on, somebody. I want that to be ever present in my life. Now, my kids are grown and they're all serving Jesus. They better serve Jesus. Come on. Because they're grown, but I'll still spank the devil out of them. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm kidding. But my kids serve the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that back in about 2000, 2001, 2002, my girls were little. We hadn't adopted Pate yet, but my girls were little. And I sat down at my house. The Lord began to deal with me about this. And I just broke down weeping because the revelation that God gave me, precious, it so showed me my own life. It so showed me what I had to overcome to become where I was, or to get to where I was and become what God had called me to be. And even then, after years in the ministry, this was, I guess it would be 23, 24 years ago now, I was still struggling to believe that I could be more. So I said, man, I got to break that off of myself. And then I just said, I don't want anything like that to be in my family. And I remember I was weeping, and I got Dawn and the girls. And I brought them into the little living room that we had at the house that we lived in over in Flagler Beach. And I sat Dawn in my lap. And I said, I bless you, Dawn Rayleigh. And I apologized. I said, if there's anything I've said over you that hurt you, that I didn't even intend to say, anything that made you feel like you couldn't be or accomplish or you weren't enough. Now, I didn't know that I had said it, but I'd said, I reversed all that and I cancel all that, because when you speak words, words don't dissipate. I read that even the sound, the reverberation exists somewhere, that it continues to ride on waves of sound. And the way that you cancel that is to renounce anything you said and say, I'm replacing that curse with a blessing. Y'all better help me. Come on. I'm not allowing anything negative to live out there based on my confession, but I'm changing that. I sat her in my lap and I began to bless her. I called her a mighty preacher, and listen, you weren't preaching much then, but look at this mighty fired up woman of God that preaches the house down every time she gets a chance. I blessed her. I blessed her health. I blessed her mind. I blessed her with peace. And I just cried. I wept and wept and wept as I blessed her. Then I got my oldest daughter. I sat her in my lap. And I said, you are a mighty woman of God. Look at her now, Courtney Lauren Rayleigh. And she was bashful. She wouldn't say two words to anybody. I remember I was the first person she ever sang a song to. She said, "Dad, I have this little song I've written. Would you like to hear it?" She wouldn't sing in front of anybody, even me. And I said, "Okay, babe, let's go." And I was trying not to. My head was about to explode. I was so excited. And what was it? "Where you are, there is freedom. Where you are, there is no fear. Where you are is your presence. And that's where I long to be near." Look at that. I still remember. "Take me where you are." And I sat her in my lap that day. And I rebuked. I canceled every curse. I said, "Honey, I'm sorry." I started weeping and crying. And I said, "I bless you to be a mighty woman of God. I said, you're going to be a world changer. I said, God's going to use you in a mighty way." Guess what? I was watching Jensen Franklin the other day. I've been watching Dominion Camp Meeting. I've been watching all these great things across the nation, even around the world. Guess whose music they're singing now? Calvary's and J-Dub and Dawn's. Y'all better make a little noise in chanting. What do you say? I'm saying there's power in the spoken blessing. I got them girls in my lap and I said, "You'll never rebel. You'll never walk away from God. You'll never be a rebellious teenager." Come on, somebody. I got little Channing in my lap, her little curly-haired self, and I started speaking over her. I was crying. They all got to crying. They were weeping and squalling. I was weeping and squalling. Snot was everywhere. We hugged and got stuck. Come on, somebody. It was so beautiful, and I began to speak over Channing and tell her she would be a mighty woman of God, that God would use her in a mighty way, that she was going to be a world shaker. I blessed her, and guess who? Who's on the stage today about to marry a man that's on fire for God? I'm trying to tell you, I believe 20-something years ago that those girls never rebelled. They never turned their back on God. Then I got a hold of Pate, and I would tell Pate every day, "You're going to be a good man. You're going to serve the Lord. You're going to raise a great family. You're going to be a mighty man of God." And I'm trying to tell you that this is what I've spoken over my family. And I don't get everything right, but I believe in the power of the spoken blessing, because today my family is in the house of the Lord and they are serving the Lord. I'm not interested in your opinion. You don't have to Facebook me or Instagram me and tell me why in the world you believe in the spoken blessing. You can't argue with me, honey, because I'm living in the power of that spoken blessing today. And if it works for Jim Raley, God is no respecter of persons, and you can cancel every curse and every negative thing that's been spoken over your family, and you can flip that script and see the blessing of the Lord come on your life. I need somebody right now that believes that when you speak underneath the anointing of God, the word of God, that it will manifest. Give the Lord a praise in here right now. When we finished that up and I finished that blessing, Courtney's just a little girl, and she looked at me, and she had been crying, and she said, "Daddy." I said, "What, buddy?" She said, "You are my hunk of burning love." You know what I need to tell you? Number two, conversation affects elevation. They blessed Rebecca, Genesis 24:60, and said to her, "Our sister, may you be the mother of thousands, of tens of thousands, and let your offspring possess the gates of those who hate them." I want you to see the backdrop here. Rebecca is standing in the front yard, and she's about to leave the only home she's ever known. Many of you know the story. She's leaving everything familiar to marry a man she's never met. But before she walked out that door, her brother and her mother gathered to speak a 24-word blessing over her. She became the mother of Jacob and Esau. They said to her, "Our sister, may you be the mother of thousands, of tens of thousands." A 24-word blessing. She became the mother of Jacob and Esau. She became the grandmother of the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes, the ones whom the 12 tribes of Israel descended. And And then they said, and let your offspring possess the gates of those who hate them. She became through them the mother of thousands and even millions. And to this day, Israel is surrounded by enemies who hate them but cannot overcome them. And I believe it's linked all the way back to Genesis 24 when somebody stood up, y'all don't want to help me, and spoke a 24-word blessings. There is power when you speak the blessing of the Lord. A blessing spoken over a child before they leave the house becomes a wall around them when they're far from home. Number three, speak blessings before your family ever leaves the house. I do, man. We tell each other we love each other. We talk to each other. See, long before back to school Sundays, long before days like this and ceremonies, God gave his people a blessing to speak over their children, and it's found in Numbers 6, and it's, they would speak it on a schedule. It says, Yahweh bless you, or the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. I speak it over you every week. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Who receives that right now? Come on. It says, Yahweh lift his face toward you and give you peace. And do you realize, do you understand that this is still going on in Jewish homes today? In most Jewish homes, on Friday night at the Shabbat table, the parents still place their hands on the heads of their children. And every Friday night, they say, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord lift his face toward you and give you peace. I'm telling you, it's a rhythm. It's not a ceremony. It's not once in a while. Most of these people do it every single week. It's time to get a pattern of blessing over your life. Begin to speak blessings. Come on, get the curse out. Get the blessing in. For sons, the blessing is often prefaced with a line from Genesis 48 where a dying blind Jacob, he crosses his arms. Here's the story. And he decided he's about to put his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh. And at the last second, he crosses his hands. And rather than blessing the older one first, he blessed the younger ones first. And Joseph tried to change his father's hands and correct them, and Jacob refused because he knew exactly what he was doing. And the Bible said in Genesis 48:20, watch this, he blessed them that day, saying, Israel, I will bless you, saying, God make you as Ephraim. Ephraim was not in position. It should have been Manasseh, but he crossed his hands. And he put his hands on Manasseh, on Ephraim first, rather than Manasseh. And it says, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. Now watch this. Come up here, son. You're going to be Ephraim. Come on. Come on up here. Son-in-law. Okay, bring that scripture up. All right. There it is. He blessed them that day saying, Israel, I will bless you, saying, God make you as Ephraim. Now, you're going to be Manasseh. Logic said, let's put our hand on Manasseh and bless him first. But the Lord moved in a different way upon this granddaddy, and he reached over and put his hand on Ephraim. And he crossed his hands. Come on now. And it looked like it was out of order. But it was the plan of God.
Jesus.
To raise Ephraim up. Even though it didn't seem like it was the right thing. Even though Ephraim seemed out of position. When he crossed his hands, it moved Ephraim in position. And some of y'all feel out of position. And you feel like, I can't be blessed. My brother can be blessed. My neighbor can be blessed. But I can't be blessed because I'm not in position. But he crossed his hands. And it was a cross that reversed that thing. It was a cross.
I've come to tell you that there's still a cross, and it was 2,000 years ago that the cross put you back in position. Somebody's in position, not because you deserve it. I need about 800 people, maybe not everybody, even 1,000. If you feel like the cross has put you in position, open up your mouth and give God a shout right now. Look down your row and tell somebody on your row, say, you can just sit there if you want to, but I gotta praise God because the cross put me in position. Somebody give God a praise. I'm in position for healing. I'm in position for breakthrough. I'm in position for joy.
Oh, that's so good. I wish I could just teach that for the next 20 minutes. The Bible said he blessed them that day. God doesn't always bless in the order that the world expects. He'll raise up the quiet kid. Come on now, he'll raise up the abused kid. He'll raise up the kid that came from nothing. Come on, somebody. He'll raise up the ones that everybody else writes off. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, there ain't one thing in your past that can ever cancel out what the power of the cross can do. He'll raise up that struggling student. Come on. Somebody's here in your 60. Hey, he'll raise up a late bloomer. Come on, somebody, and make them mighty. The one nobody picked or believed in. What if blessing your family, your children, is something you made up in your mind, your mate, your grandchildren, if you did it every week? And when you bless, look at me now, bless big. Bless with faith. Bless with confidence. When you talk to yourself, don't get full of pride. Come on now. Lord, I'm going to do this because you're on my side. I can overcome this and you'll get the glory. Come on. I can be raised up. I want you to start thinking big. You know why? Because small thinkers make big stinkers. Some of you, there's a smell on your row. It's a small thinker. Watch this. Ruth 4, 11 and 12, all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses, and here's the blessing. May Yahweh, speaking over Ruth, a Moabitess, an adulteress, said, may Yahweh make the woman who has come into your house like Rachel and Leah, which the two built the house of Israel, and treat you worthily in Ephrathah and be famous, watch this, in Bethlehem. Let your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore Judah, and the offspring of which Yahweh will give you by this young woman. This right here is so powerful. It's a 63-word blessing spoken over an adulteress, Ruth, who was nobody, who wasn't from the right place. She didn't have a pedigree. She didn't have an inheritance. She didn't have a standing, but she got underneath the blessing and received it with faith in God. And do you know 30 generations later, you know who her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson was? His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't want to help me. An adulteress. What about Rahab the prostitute? She's also in the lineage of Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how dark your past is. You can flip that thing in the mighty name of the Lord when you get underneath the spoken. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I tell you that God is for you. Give God a praise if you believe it. There's victory in the spoken blessing. Glory be to God. Where there's blessings, I want you to speak big. Speak big. When you speak over me, speak big, not fat. Come on now. But speak big things over your church. The Bible said, now to him, Ephesians 3:20, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to power that works in us. Listen, when you speak, don't speak small. When you declare, precious, don't declare small, but begin to speak. Bring the text back up. Well, I got to see it again. Speak exceedingly, speak abundantly, speak above all that we can ask or think. Get your mind right, get your mouth right, and speak the power and favor of the Lord over your life. Don't bless small, bless big. Small thinkers make big thinkers, big stinkers. Everything you see here, all these campuses, all these millions of dollars that we've given to missions, the Dream Center downtown that we bought and paid cash for, come on. I thought it, I spoke it, I believed it, and God did it. But our greatest example about the next generation is Jesus. He blessed the next generation, and so must we. So must we. Mark 10, 13 through 16, they were bringing to him the little children that he should touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who were bringing them. But when Jesus saw it, he was moved with indignation and said to them, "Allow the little children to come to me. Don't forbid them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Most assuredly, I say unto you, certainly, whoever will not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child. He will in no way enter in." He took them in his arms and he blessed them and he laid his hands on them. The disciples saw the children as an interruption. Jesus saw them as the whole point. Notice the order. He didn't just speak a blessing over them from a distance. He took them. He touched them. He loved them. Man, see it? That's why I want you to be a blesser and not a blaster. When I bless my kids, it changed things. I believe they're walking in this daddy's spoken blessing, and it's the grace of the Lord. I want you to bless your kids before they leave school tomorrow. I want you to bless your mates when you get home tonight. I want you to illustrate this message. I know lots of times, you know, we're undone and we're throwing babies, come on, and dancing before the Lord times like this, but I want you to hear this. I want to be intentional with you. I'm declaring, I want to see you speak life. I want you to do it over every one of your children. I want you to do it over your husband and over your wife. I want you to speak it over me. I want you to speak it over this church. There's some of you today, and I did this just before I walked out. I was sitting there in my office, and the Lord said that there's a lot of people when you share your testimony. And I want to dishonor my folks. Y'all know that I love my folks, but y'all, I'm not making a secret about some of the stuff that I dealt with. And the reason I share this with you is to give you hope. Is to give you hope that it doesn't matter what was spoken over you, that a fresh word from God can break it all. And as I was sitting back there, the Lord said, there's people that are going to be sitting in that room today, and their story is similar to yours. They are still trying to get over words that were spoken over them by others. And he said, before you speak over the children or the teachers, he said, stop your message. I said, Lord, what I wanted to do this and do that, but I said, but whatever you want me to do, Lord, I am clay, you are the potter. I'll change the whole message. I'll change it all if it'll set somebody free in that room. And the Lord said, it will. And I sat right there and wrote this. If you've had negative words spoken over you and you know it's impacted you in some way, I want you to raise up your hand right now. And you got to have it broken today. God's about to set some things right. God God's about to set some things right. If you're ready to receive, I'm going to speak to you as a father. I'm a father in the Lord. I embrace that. I know my identity. I'm not becoming a father in the Lord. That doesn't make me better than anybody else. That just makes me a man who understands what he's called to be. Being a father is something that I love to be. So I'm going to speak over you as a father today. Some of you were raised in a home without a father. Some of you were raised in a home where the father spoke negatively or the mother spoke negatively. I want you to hold that hand up now. God's about to change things. There's an anointing coming in this room right now. Just give me some strings up there. There's a glory coming in this room right now. There's a reverse the curse coming in this room right now. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you've got your hand raised, I want you to stand to your feet right now. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but this is necessary because God's about to shift the thing. And when we pray this and when I speak this, there's going to be victory released. Hallelujah. So hold your hand up, precious. I love you so much. You're so precious. I believe in you. I see tears already beginning to flow. I haven't even spoken it yet. I see things beginning to lift right now. Here it comes. Here it comes. Where someone said you'll never amount to anything, I speak, decree, and declare today that you were destined to be victorious before you ever drew your first breath. I declare where someone said you would be like your father or your mother or a generational curse that was spoken against you and you'll fail just like your family failed. I speak and declare that your bloodline is broken from repetition and you carry a new inheritance. You carry a new anointing. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Where someone said you'll never make it, you're too broken, you're too late. I speak, decree, and declare that you are recoverable. And I declare all that is broken, and this is not your final chapter. Your chapter will not end in defeat, but it will end in breakthrough. Where someone said you don't deserve to be loved and you're not good enough, I speak, decree, and declare that you are greatly loved. You are loved by people in this room, and you are fully loved by a Father who will never leave you or abandon you. Where you've been wounded and hurt and let down and disappointed and had fear and doubt and negativity spoken over you, I speak over you, daughters and sons. I speak over you the mighty hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak over you power and breakthrough. Where someone says you don't have what it takes, you're not good enough, I speak and decree that everything you need to become everything God has called you to be is inside of you, not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And where someone has tried to say, this is just how our family ends up, this is just how it is, I break every cycle of the enemy off of your life. I break every cycle of depression, every cycle of fear, every cycle of doubt, every cycle that the enemy wants you to pass to the next generation. I declare that it is broken, and today I declare that you are a child of the living God. I declare that you are greatly loved and you are blessed because I bless you according to the word of God with the backing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do it right now by faith. If you receive it, give God a praise. Come on, somebody praise the Lord with everybody. Come on, somebody praise the Lord with everybody. Stand to your feet. Nobody leave. Nobody leave. Praise the Lord with everybody. All right. Nobody leave because I'm going to speak a blessing over the entire house today. How many of you have a greater understanding of the blessing of the Lord just from this few minutes? I could do a whole series on this. I want to bless our teachers today. Church, I'm going to ask every teacher, whether you're a coach, whether you work in the room, in the lunchroom, whether you're a teacher's aide, Brother, any, if you're on the property with children and you serve in any capacity in a school, college, or university, today I'm going to bless you. I want to tell every teacher in this room, I want you to look at me. I want to tell you how much we appreciate you. I want to tell you, come on, we can do even better than that. Thank you, Calvary. Thank you for letting them know. This feels holy to me, y'all. There's something on this today. This feels important. The blessing that I'm about to speak over the whole church, this feels so important. Tell your neighbor, this is important for you. This is important for you. It's important for your family. It's important for your children and your grandchildren. It's important. But you teachers here, I want to start with you, because they may have tried to take prayer out of the schools a long time ago, but it'll never be out as long as you're in. Hallelujah. I'll tell you that right now. So I want every teacher and educator, we want to honor you today. I want you to raise up your hand. If you're in, look at this. Wow. Unbelievable. Hold the hands up. We've got principals here. Come on, we've got college professors here. We've got teachers here. Okay, if somebody around you has their hand raised, I want you to reach over and touch them right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Just reach over, gently touch them on the shoulder, and I'm going to bless them. It's a spoken blessing. Heavenly Father, we stand before you today for the ones who carry a classroom, a campus, a locker room, a lecture hall. I bless every teacher, every coach, every professor, every administrator, every bus driver, every cafeteria worker, every substitute, every aide in this room. We call you laborers, not by accident. We call you in that classroom by assignment. We declare that the harvest is plentiful and you are the one standing in the field. We bless you. We bless you with strength for your days when it feels like nobody notices. We bless your wisdom when a student needs more than a lesson plan. We bless your joy so that it never dries up while you're in the classroom or whatever you're doing to help these kids. Lord, let your face shine upon everybody involved in education the way it shines on every minister of the gospel, because that's exactly what every teacher and every school leader is in this room. They are ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare that you do not walk into your school or these buildings alone. We declare that every seed you plant in a young life, you will see it again. We declare that the ones who feel unseen this year will be fully seen by God. We declare that the Lord is keeping you. We declare that his face shines upon you and your classroom. The Lord lifts his victorious face upon you, and this will be a year of victory and breakthrough, teacher. If you receive it with our educators, somebody give the Lord a mighty praise. This feels so significant today. Come on, this feels so significant today. Okay, nobody leave. This is, we're so far ahead. I want every parent that has a student with you or a child with you, I want you to bring your children and I want you to bring your family. Come up right now. Come up right now. Come up right now. Bring those children right now. Teenagers, I want you to come. Come on. I want every student in the room to come. College student, university student, come on, middle school student, get it. Grandma, bring those kids right now. Hundreds and hundreds are coming just in this service alone. Somebody give God praise. The Lord is up to something wonderful. No, you got to do better than that. Give God a shout. Look at this. Press them in. I need my staff. Jamie, y'all help me. Let's get these pressed in. Come on. Isaac, y'all help them get in. Come on, Clay. They're coming in droves. Come on. Hallelujah. Wow. This is even more than I was expecting. Press on in, press on in, press on in. Bring those children, bring those teenagers. I'm gonna speak a blessing over you. Glory to God, glory to God. I think we ought to shout right now because God's up to something big. Come on, shout. Okay. Now, Jennifer, come up here, baby. Pastor Jennifer. Now, listen. I've got some of our legacy adults. I want all the legacy adults just kind of wave at us. They're all here. We've got these right here made up for you. And after I speak a blessing over your children and over this year, come on, your grandchildren, when you walk out, we want you to take these, because what's all in them, Jennifer? Talk to me, honey.
So we have anointing oil that you can put the anointing oil over the head. And if you're like me, you can walk through the house. I anoint all of my doors. You can anoint their pillows. Come on, you can just anoint. And it's just a symbol of the presence of the Lord in your home. And you can pray. And actually, we have, if you follow our podcast, My Church, My House,
yes,
there's an episode about praying through your home. And you can take that anointing oil, go to My Church, My House, and walk through it and pray over your home. So we have anointing oil, and then we have communion cups. And then there's a guide for you to walk with your family through communion and just remember the blood of Jesus over your family in your home. And if you don't have enough cups, we have extras in the lobby.
We do.
And if you are not a parent, but you just say, I want to take communion when I go home, we have extras for everyone in the room. And then something else really special that we have is a keychain. And this keychain here, we asked our staff to turn in prayers and blessings that they pray over their children. And we have one for every school day of the week that you can
do. Think about that.
And you can put this on your keys. You can do it in the car ride on the way to school. You can do it at home. It has a scripture to learn. It has a parent prayer that you can pray, and then it has a student declaration that they declare on protection, identity, victory, leadership, kindness, and so that they'll walk in the blessing of God.
Come on.
Come on, we want to equip you.
We're being intentional.
Come on. What happens in this moment is powerful, but what happens every day? Come
right.
on, we want to equip you, parent. We want to equip you to lead your students. We want to equip you, college students, come on, to walk in the continued blessing and favor of
so
God.
So there's communion, and we're going to tell you how to take communion. It's right in there. It gives you instructions, and there's anointing oil. It'll be available in the back. We're all through the crowd. Don't leave without it. But now I want everybody who's up front, raise up your hands right now. I want to speak over children. I want you, if you've got a kid around you, touch your child. Come on. You put your hands on your children right now. Come on. I'm about to bless them. Father, we bring every student in this room before you today, the 6-year-old and the 20-year-old, everyone in between, the kindergartner and the college and university student. Before they ever get a locker, a schedule, a roommate, or a grade, we declare this over them. God, you knew them before they were formed, and you set every one of them apart for a purpose. I bless you today as a father in the Lord. I bless your mind today with wisdom and not confusion. I bless your heart today with courage and not fear. I bless your friendships today, that you will make the right friends, friends that will be loyal, friends that will not lead you into rebellion, but will lead you into loving Jesus. I declare and I bless your identity today. I declare that you walk out of this room knowing who you are, that you are a child of God. I bless you with truth and not the spirit of comparison. I break peer pressure off of you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare that you will not be ruled or controlled by people in that classroom. You will walk into that room, student, knowing who you are. I bless you today and declare that you have a future and a hope that has no limitation, that God is on your side. If you feel behind, I tell you that you are not behind. God does not bless in the order that the world expects. You may feel like Ephraim, but I declare that when God puts his hand on you, that you shall be anointed to do great things this year in your school. To the one who's afraid tomorrow, to the teenager who feels the stress of going back to school, nothing you will face in that school is bigger than the God who is sending you. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I declare over every elementary student, over every kindergartner, I declare it over every middle school, high school student, over every university and college student. I declare over you that you are not made to be average. I declare over you that that you were not made to be less than. I declare over you that you were made on purpose, and you have a mighty purpose. So I send you back to school in the mighty name of Jesus, blessed and highly favored and victorious, for the Lord is on your side. In the mighty name of Jesus, together as one church family, we speak the blessing of the Lord over these students. Somebody give God a shout. Come on, give God a shout. I felt that. All right, everybody else, raise up your hands. Pastor Jen, I'm going to let you dismiss us, but I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Somebody raise up your hands. You ready to be spoken over? How many of you received today? If you think this is one of the greatest days ever at Calvary, give God a roar of praise right now. I believe this was one of the greatest days ever. All right, precious. Hold up your hands. It's been my joy to speak blessings over you. Look at me in the eyes. Please return the favor. Just bless me and my family. Speak over us health. I want to work for Jesus a long time. I want to make as big a difference as I can. So just speak over my family. Speak over this staff. Speak over your church. Are you ready, precious? Holding up your hands. Boy, I love you so much. Here it comes. Yahweh bless you. Somebody shout, I receive it. Yahweh make his face shine upon you. Oh, I'm going to say that again. I hear you saying, I receive it. Yahweh make his face shine upon you. Yahweh be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his face toward you. And Yahweh give you peace. Here it goes. God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. God bless you this week. Ahead of anything you're expecting. So this week you will be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Now somebody that feels breakthrough, give God a praise. Stand right there, and Jennifer's going to dismiss us. I love you. God bless you, Calvary.